If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Three brothers, no sisters, mom and dad, America 59 years, dad's a minister. I have a passion to play drums, but I also have a deeper passion to be a dancer. You know, being a minister, you're not going to have that type of music playing in my house. You got to go outside. My 11th grade year at Suncoast High School is when I entered like my first dance competition.
What did your parents think when you told them you were entering this contest?
My dad, he wasn't that big of a supporter. My mom, she loved everything I did. And I won $25,000 with MTV.
What did your dad say after he saw that you won?
Loan me $5.
Right after college is when you came up with the idea to start your own dance school?
I walked into a gym. They're like, hey, you want a membership? Like, no, I want a sweet gym manager. I would like to start the ultimate hip-hop workout experience. That just came out of my head out of nowhere. He's like, what? I said, yeah, I'm going to start the ultimate hip-hop workout experience right here in your gym. I taught a couple of dances. 5 turned into 10, 10 turned into 15. Then I had 50 people in my class every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Once we shut down the studio for however many months that was. But lo and behold, I received a phone call from yours truly, yourself. That changed the game. We did this camp for Wyatt, and I think it was the third or the fourth TikTok video we posted. One of them went viral. I'll never forget. I started receiving DMs from moms in Boca, Palm Beach, Miami, and New York.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. So today is a really special episode for me because I'm bringing to you a friend of mine, Sean Green. You may have seen him if you follow me on Instagram at all. Years ago, during COVID, there were videos that I posted of my daughter dancing, and it went viral. And from that, this guy's career flourished. But before me, obviously, he was someone, and a big someone. Sean Green is a renowned hip-hop choreographer and the founder of Sean's Dance Factory, based in Palm Beach, Florida. With over 25 years of experience, he has dedicated his career to teaching and inspiring dancers of all ages. Sean has also worked as a choreographer for the Miami Heat dancers, showcasing his talent on a prominent platform. I can't wait for you to hear this guy's story. He's made a complete difference and impact in my life and my daughter's life. But not only that, during COVID, he had to pivot and decide how he was redesigning his business. And since then, he's completely taken off in a different direction. I cannot wait for you to learn more about him because for years, people have been asking me how to reach Sean, how to book him for their parties, and now you're going to want to too. So please enjoy my conversation with my friend, Sean Green.
Thank you.
Dawn Green. Thank you so much for joining me today on Misunderstood. It's been a long time coming. I've wanted you on this show forever. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Rachel. I'm excited. I couldn't wait for this moment.
Missed you. So I want to start at the beginning. Talk to me. I mean, I know all these stories, but I want everyone else to hear these stories. So talk to me from the beginning. Tell me about your childhood, the kind of family you were raised with. You know, tell me all about that.
Okay, cool. Small town, Riviera Beach, in south of West Palm Beach, well, Palm Beach County. Let me see. Three brothers, no sisters, mom and dad, been married for 59 years. Dad's a minister. And by being a minister, he wasn't really too thrilled about me playing secular music in the house. Like, he would call it worldly music. You know, being a minister, like, you're not going to have that type of music playing in my house. You got to go outside. So I have a passion to play drums, but I also have a deeper passion to be a dancer. So I would just say I was inspired by Michael Jackson, New Edition, like those R&B groups, the ones with dancing, you know, involved. And I would go outside in the backyard, and that's where I would, you know, start dancing and creating combos, choreography, and mimicking Michael Jackson. Friends would come over in the backyard, and that's how it started. And right. Then I would say, what was it? My 11th grade year at Suncoast High School is when I entered like my first dance competition, and I won $25,000 with MTV.
Okay, wait, but slow down on that for a minute, because what did your parents think when you told them you were entering this contest?
My dad, he wasn't, you know, that big of a supporter. My mom, she loved everything I did. So it was like more of, I think I would have to prove to him, to let him know, like, this is my passion. You know, like later in life, I found out my passion became my purpose. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm young at the time. I'm still a kid. Just, you know, I wasn't into video games like my brothers. I wasn't into, like, you know, on a Saturday morning running to the TV to watch cartoons and, you know, and eat a bowl of, you know, cereal. That wasn't me. I was like beating on pots and pans because we couldn't afford a drum set. I was out, you know, out in the backyard, you know, waving and popping and just, you know, finding, you know, being fine tuned of what I like to do. And this is the things that I like, dancing and playing drums. And right. So, yeah, that's how it was growing up. It was very, I would have to add this. We wasn't poor, but we didn't have a lot of money. Like, right. My mom and dad taught us love, respect, discipline. And we was in church every single Sunday, Saturdays, and Wednesdays for Bible study. So you talk about a kid who's brought up in church, but I have good morals because of it.
Right. And your parents were very strict. I mean, you've told me some stories about getting chased around the house.
Oh, you remember that?
Scared to get hit.
Yeah. I can share one of those stories.
Please do.
Okay, sure. So, I'm not trying to condone this, but it was a time.
Well, it was more acceptable when we were younger, obviously. I think we'd get arrested if we did this to our kids now.
That's what I'm trying to say
right now. But it's a funny, I mean, it's a terrible but funny story at the same time. And I think you understand discipline now because of what your parents did. So I love the story.
Yeah, for sure. So it was one time that my brother, Chris, he had a BB gun, like a little pellet gun. It was nothing serious. And one time I went into the utility room to shake it up, and I'm like, I want to play with this gun. And I didn't hear anything in it. So I'm like, okay, I can just act like I'm playing whatever. So I'm in the living room.
Cops and robbers.
Cops and robbers. That's what I'm thinking of. Thank you. And then I shook it up, didn't hear anything, and I pulled the trigger, and freaking pellet came out. And it bust the whole window out of the living room. Oh my gosh. So there's a gigantic hole in the window. So my dad's coming home from lunch. He sees it. And next thing you know, my brothers, of course, they snitch on me. All right, you wait right here. By the time I get off of work at 4 o'clock, you better have a belt in your hand. So we had to find the belt. You know, that's how discipline was. Like, I had to find the belt. So of course I found the lightest, skinniest belt. Because I know I was going to get a whooping when I got home. When he got home. And I've never had another whooping ever since then because that discipline kicked in.
Right. So, and how'd you fix the window?
He fixed the window, you know, after he tore my behind up. But but here's the thing, like, that discipline goes a long way. You know, we learned about how to respect each other, how to love each other, You know, I never drank or never smoked a day in my life. You know, I didn't, you know, wasn't one of those kids out of high school or college like to do a bunch of drugs or anything like that. But I don't judge people who drink, but I still to this day never drink or smoked ever in my life because I didn't see that bringing up, you know. So my foundation was more built on love and discipline than anything.
Right. So, okay, let's go back to the thing that you submitted your tape to. Like, how did you get involved in the thing that you did when you were in 11th grade?
Sure. So it was a MTV lip sync dance competition. And we had to create this video. Mind you, we're talking about a VHS videotape. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about, I think, 1994, something like that. Anyway, so it was a couple of friends and I, Corey Russell and Brian Brodnack and myself. So we got together, we got in my backyard, I choreographed the dance. I never forget, it was called I Gotta Get Away by Bobby Brown. So remember Bobby Brown back in the days. So I choreographed his song, it had a lot of good energy. And we didn't think, honestly, I didn't think anything of it. We submitted the videotape into MTV. And then lo and behold, I get a message over the intercom in high school at Suncoast High School. And the press was like, Sean Green, please report to the office. And so all my friends are like, oh, Sean, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Like, man, I got this. So I get to the office and the press was like, here, MTV is on the phone for you. Like, me? So I submitted the videotape a little while ago. And then it's like, and TV's like, Sean Green, like, yeah, this is me. He's like, your video came in first place. Congratulations. I'm like, okay, what does that look like? You just won $25,000. And that was a lot of money, you know, for three little black kids growing up in the hood. You feel me? Like, we ain't have no money like that.
Okay, so it wasn't a competition where you had to do something on MTV. You had to submit a video and then somebody won the amount. Oh my God. So what did you really get the $25,000?
Yeah, but here's the thing. We've never been on a plane before. MTV said, we're going to fly you guys to New York. First time leaving River Beach. First time on a plane, Delta. Get to New York. Put us in a hotel. Took care of all of our, you know, flight, hotel, food. Get to this video screening party. They hand us this big carbon check, the big check and their, like, you know, official check. And they said, tomorrow we will have a live dance contest. So we want to make sure that, you know, you could get down the live music. So the very next day, that night, I started to choreograph something else and we performed and we won first place again, 5,000 cash.
No.
So a total of 30,000 that week. And then by the time I got back home, true story, by the time I got back home, we were like on every news station you could imagine, like all throughout, you know, East Coast. And then something big happened after that. Want me to share that with you too as well?
Of course.
Sure. So Super Bowl reached out. Super Bowl 29, 49ers versus the Chargers in Miami, Florida. Reached out to my the band room and they asked that I was selected to choreograph the Super Bowl pregame dance insert for the Super Bowl 29.
And at this point, how old were you?
I was, I think, 16 or 17 years old. I wasn't even in college yet. Yeah.
Did they pay you for that? Or this was just like a thing they wanted you to do and you should be honored to be doing it? How did that
work? I was honored to be doing it and there was no pay in that. I'll just take it, you know.
But it's something you could put on your resume. I mean, that's amazing.
I do. And I did.
Okay. So, wait, two questions. What did you do with the money?
Sure. Glad you asked. Unlike my friends, they blew their money, but I took my money, well, my little portion of the money, and I spent it my first year at my college, Florida A&M University. That's what got me into school. So let me back up a little bit.
Yeah.
College, university, those terms were never brought up in our home because it was always understood that we couldn't afford to go to college. But I know in order for me to make it, I need to get to college. And the Marching 100 band was like, it was what inspired me to go to college because, you know, once again, I was a drummer. Get to college. My first summer, 1994, 95, in college, summer year is what I spent my money on because that's what got me into the doors. And then I had to pay college loans to get through the school year. And then I graduated.
And were you in the band in college?
Sure was. I was in the Incomparable Marching 100 band. Right now, we're ESPN's favorite band. Right now, we just got announced that, two, 3 days ago? We had a big competition. We won that. Well, not me, but I'm still a part of the band. But yeah. So we're ESPN's favorite choice band of the year.
Is the one that you mean is the college band?
The college band. The name of that school is called Florida A&M University. We call that FAMU for short. But the Marching 100 was the band that I was a part
of. Do you ever go back there and like do stuff with them?
Honestly, I go back to support and like, I don't go to homecomings anymore, but I go to the classic. The Florida Classic is easier to get to because it's right here in Orlando. I'll drive 2.5-3 hours away and we'll go to watch the game. But we really go for the band because the band is like, it's why everybody's really there.
Okay. And then my second question is, what did your dad say after he saw that you won?
Loan me $5. now his hands out all the time. When I call him, he have the biggest smile. He's supporting me like crazy. My mom,
he's like, "Oh, my son, the dancer."
Exactly. So, and now, well, we'll talk about the pivot and everything.
Yeah.
You know how I'm doing very well with what I have, with the niche that I have in dance. But back then, it was a struggle. It was hard. And So
what did you study in college?
Actually, I have a bachelor of science degree of education. So I was supposed to be a school teacher, but what I did was I applied what I've learned and I created my own dance school after I graduated. I graduated December 15th of 2000. And then when I got back to West Palm Beach is when I decided not to teach in the elementary schools. Like I didn't want to teach the 5 content areas.
Oh, got it. Okay. So I didn't actually know this about you. So right after college is when you came up with the idea to start your own dance school?
Correct. And that story was crazy in itself because I walked into a gym like blindly, then like never seen this gym before. It was called Club Fit Gym in West Palm Beach. And they was like, "Hey, you want a membership?" Like, "No, I want a sweet team manager." I'm like, "Okay." So they get the manager. The manager's like, How can I help you?" I was like, "Yeah. Do you have like a cardio room or aerobic room that, you know, where they do cardio at, like dancing or something like that?" It's like, "No, what are you talking about?" I was like, "I would like to start the ultimate hip hop workout experience." That just came out of my head out of nowhere. He's like, "What?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to start the ultimate hip hop workout experience right here in your gym." He's like, "Show me." So I pulled 2 girls off the treadmill, you know, follow me into this room, got into the room. That's when Missy Elliott was like, you know, bang, like first came out with Jenny from the Block, Justin Timberlake, "Don't Dig a Dump." So I was doing those songs. I taught a couple of dances. 5 turned into 10, 10 turned into 15. Then I had 50 people in my class every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday because I went to that gym and opened my mouth and said something.
So wait a minute. So you just offered to teach these classes in somebody else's gym. And that, do you still talk to this guy, by the way? He must have thought you were crazy and then fell in love with you.
Right. So no, I don't talk to them at all. That gym is over with. They closed that gym down a long, long time ago. Mind you, this is 2002. This is 2002
right
now.
Okay.
So this is after World Trade. Yeah. So 2002, I'm in this gym. They wasn't paying me what I was worth. They wanted to pay me $17 a class. I'm like, "No, I know what I'm worth. Give me $50 or I'm walking." It's like, "We can't
give you $50. $50.
God, I'm like, "Look, we got 50 members in here because of me taking this class. One of those memberships can pay for what I'm asking for."
Right.
It's not hard to do the math here. Nope. So Gold's Gym says, "Hey, we know who you are, Sean. We'll take you." So I went to Gold's Gym. I said, "Under one condition, allow me to start my own dance company for kids because I want to, you know, have a way for them to come out of school and do something positive and build their confidence and self-esteem. And so they're not out in the street getting into trouble. So I will start my own dance little organization right here in your gym." And they allowed me to do that. So shout out to Gold's Gym. It's the hurricane tore down, but 2003 is when Sean's dance at Bruce Murth.
Okay. So you end up having your own actual gym where you're not working inside of someone else's gym at some point.
Absolutely.
How do we get there?
After 1 year. So I was only at Gold's Gym for 1 year because I grew tremendously, like right away. It was like,
so for you, it was about growing your customer, your fan base. So they would follow you wherever you went.
Mainly inner city kids, mainly like talented kids, but struggling, but they need a way. They didn't have money. So, I wasn't charging a lot of money. And then I was giving scholarships for the underprivileged, for the ones who really couldn't afford. But I wanted, I seen the potential in these kids. And honestly, to be honest with you, one of those kids, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this for off the record or on the record, Chris Grant, during that time, he was 14 years old. And I was teaching him. He would come in. I would teach him the foundation of hip hop. But he was like this Michael Jackson impersonator. He was like, he was an incredible dancer. And this is in 2003. And now he's Beyonce's choreographer.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So I started teaching with him, Mikey Basante. He toured with Britney Spears. I taught a whole bunch of kids who performed with Justin Bieber. And the list goes on and on. But it's about, my philosophy is to help people become the better version of themselves, helping kids, build confidence, self-esteem, managing depression, managing anxiety. And that's the real purpose. That's my mission behind what I do.
Right, of course. So wait, I just want to get into the logistics. How did you get to the point where you could figure out how to rent your own gym and rent your own space? Because I met you, you had a gym.
A studio. So studio. We won't call it gym. Yeah, so gym was Gold's Gym. And then on Military Trail near Okeechobee Boulevard, like a little west of 95 on Okeechobee Boulevard, there was a office. It was like maybe 14 or 1500 square feet. I was like, I'll rent this out for like $1,600. They was charging me like $1,600 a month. And the tuition that I was charging would pay for that. So I was really making money. It was just, we have a roof over our head, and then I would charge a little bit for tuition. And I would stay there for 2 years. And then next thing that we moved to another studio because we grown bigger on Okeechobee Boulevard behind the Arby's on Okeechobee Boulevard. And that studio grew big. And then we moved to another studio on Military Trail in Kilmar. And we were there for like 12 years. That's when everyone knew who I was. They were coming from Miami, Port St. Lucie, Fort Lauderdale, Stewart, all throughout West Palm Beach. Everybody, if they wanted some real hip hop, like real authentic street hip hop dance, you got to go to Sean's Dance Saturday.
And you would have classes where people who really knew what they were doing could get involved and find like-minded dancers. But also you had classes for people like me that have no rhythm that just want to get a workout, right?
Pretty much, yes. That was the adult class. But you have rhythm, though, whether you know it or not. I remember.
Okay.
It was a small struggle, but you got it. Just kidding. we had classes for beginners, intermediate, advanced. We even had salsa classes. One time we had Bollywood belly dance classes, modern contemporary classes. And then once again, the adult hip hop class was like, that was a strong class too as well. So we had classes.
But kids, it sounds like kids were like throughout your whole time, this was something you really loved to teach and help kids.
I fell in love with, being able to bring happiness and joy to homes and watching these kids grow up like, I don't have any biological kids, but I like to call them all my kids. And it's like, I loved on them. So I go to their graduations. I go to their performances. I rent out the Kravitz Center and have the Big Bang production shows every year. People will come out and we will pack out the Kravitz Center. Ricker Playhouse, that is. But we did the Gossman Theater a couple of times in the Kravitz Center. So that was like our home. Like we will look forward to like having this big production. Now, we didn't call it recital because you'll fall asleep at recitals. The big production, the Big Bang Show, Sean's Dance Factory, make sure you're there. And it was like, that's what these kids love for that. They live for it. They couldn't wait for it. So that was like our Super Bowl.
Are you ready to make this the year you finally feel like yourself again? So many of us start the year with big resolutions to look better, feel better, and live better. But here's the secret. It all starts with aging better. That's why I'm so excited to introduce you to Renew Youth. For over 25 years, they've been pioneers in longevity medicine, creating safe, personalized treatment plans to help you feel and look your best. Renew Youth understands that no two people are the same, which is why every plan is custom, tailored to fit your needs. From testosterone replacement for men to hormone balancing for women, their treatments tackle fatigue, low sex drive, weight gain, and so much more, getting you back to feeling like you again. Plus, it's all physician supervised with treatments you can administer from the comfort of your home. Right now, my listeners can save 50% on initial lab testing by going to renewyouth.com/misunderstood, spelled M-I-S-S, understood. Don't wait. Take the first step towards aging better today. Visit renewyouth.com/misunderstood to sign up for your free consultation. Renew Youth, because this year you deserve to feel amazing. I try to eat healthy, but let's be honest, sometimes I fall off the wagon. As we all know, we should eat 5 servings of fruit and veggies a day, but let's be real, it's not always happening. That's where Field of Greens saves the day. Even when I mess up my diet, I stay on track with this incredible green drink. Field of Greens isn't just another supplement. It's the only one that comes with a better health promise. Just one delicious glass a day, and at your next checkup, your doctor will notice the difference, or you get your money back. Every ingredient is doctor selected for a specific health benefit, supporting heart health, metabolism, even weight management. I'm telling you, you guys, the taste is incredible. You're going to love it. I love it. I don't even like drinking water. It's also helped my water intake. I love the energy I get from it, and you will too. Get 20% off your first order with code UNDERSTOOD at fieldofgreens.com. That's code UNDERSTOOD at fieldofgreens.com. Try it risk-free, because better health is just a sip away. Holistic Goddess has been such a trusted resource for me on my health journey. One product I really wanted to highlight is their Holistic Menopause Support by PhD Health. It's been a game changer for me during perimenopause, and here's why I love it. It eases discomfort. It really helps with hot flashes and mood swings. The ingredients in it, including creatine, support mental sharpness. I feel more focused and clear-headed, which is so important for my busy days. Go to holisticgoddess.com and use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off all orders. So you were doing really well at the end of 2019 going into 2020, correct?
Yep, that is correct. We're doing very well.
And all of a sudden the world shuts down and COVID happens. My story and your story collide here. I came down to Florida. I guess it was the summer, part of the summer.
It was the summer.
That first year that COVID happened, everything was closed. I think they had just opened up to airplanes so you could get on an airplane. But like when I flew down to Palm Beach from New York, I came with my daughter, Wyatt, and there might've been 5 people on the plane, and everyone was dressed in like a hazmat suit. Like we walked on like this, you couldn't touch anything.
Yeah,
I don't even to pee in the toilet. I remember it was like a whole fiasco because you were like using your elbow. You could not touch a thing.
Right.
It was crazy town. And by the way, the tickets were $7 to fly.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, wow. It was bizarre. That was cheap. Anyway, so we came down here and we were staying for an indefinite amount of time till we figured stuff out because everything in New York was closed. Things were not as closed in Florida, but your dance studio was closed, right? Or it was shutting down a little bit. Tell me where you were at that point.
Yeah, so honestly, it was just in God's hands because I didn't know what was going on. Like once I closed down, once we shut down the studio for however many months that was, like, okay, this is when adversity kicks in, you know, like, but adversity can teach you or adversity can defeat you, but the choice is always yours. But lo and behold, I received a phone call from yours truly, yourself, and that changed the game because I wasn't doing private lessons strongly like that, like teaching we did this little camp for Wyatt, and I think it was the third or the fourth TikTok video we posted. One of them went viral.
Yeah.
Because of Wyatt and yourself, because of your name, really, and Wyatt. And so after that, when that video went viral, and I forget, I started receiving DMs from moms in Boca, Palm Beach, Miami, and New York. And I've never received any clients that had any interest of me coming to teach private lessons in New York, period. So my Palm Beach Island, so now we're talking about real money now. So the Palm Beach Island clientele was like, I would have like 12 to 15 different clients I would go to. Because of you, I would go to daily like 3 or 4 times a day. And I'm charging like, at that time I was charging $200 an hour. I don't know why I'm telling this, but yeah. So I would have a lot of clients there and in Boca and in Miami. Mm. And then by this time, everything changed. It's like, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to back up for 1 second just for, cause we know the story, but we've kind of glossed over it. What happened was I came down here and I wanted Wyatt to have some activity. We didn't really know that many people. There weren't that many people down here. We would go to the beach. There was hardly anyone there.
Right.
So I was looking
dance,
up.
By the way.
I'm sorry.
Wyatt could dance, by the way.
I didn't know that. So what was funny about it is, I researched, dance studios. I researched camps first. And then Wyatt was like, well, I would like to dance. And I was like, okay. So I called your dance studio and I left a message and it said you guys were closed, but someone called me back and then ended up putting me in touch with you. And I said to you, can you do a private? You're like, well, I guess. And I'm like, okay. And knowing my personality, this isn't shocking. And I was like, well, yes, you can. What are you doing? You're like, I'm like, your studio is closed.
That was true.
You're available.
Right.
And I said, I said, do you have a camp? And you said, no. I said, well, you do now.
Right,
so can you come over from 1 in the afternoon till 4 or 5, Monday to Friday, and do a camp with my daughter? And she's really into this thing called TikTok. And maybe you could do some TikTok dances with her.
Whatever.
It'll give her some exercise. So you said yes. And you came and you did it. And within the first day, by 4:30, you showed me this TikTok. Or I went outside and I watched you guys.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God, what just happened? Because it was day 1, and then by day 2, you had 3 more, and day 3, you had 5 more.
That's true.
Then you started playing with the different areas in the house to have different backgrounds.
And
on the last day, we had you guys in a hammock area and in
that.
A different house that I moved to. And then you had me doing a TikTok, which took maybe 50 tries.
Very well.
I didn't know what I was doing. And you were like, come on, be sexy. And I was like,
you crushed that one, though. You crushed that one. I gotta give it to you. You did very well.
I think it was as in little snippets, you know, it's all smoke and mirrors. You can make it look like anything. But anyways, long story short, what you said happened. Some of these, we would post these TikToks and they completely went viral. And it was the greatest thing for me to see Wyatt, first of all of a sudden dancing like she was a little professional, and she was like 8 or 9 at the time, maybe even 7. Yeah. And you and her having such good chemistry that you were like this little duo. And then my phone started ringing off the hook and my Instagram was like, oh, how can I hire this guy? And because I had grown so fond of you, by the time I left on Friday, I was like, I think that you should create a job out of this. Like you should be doing it.
Don't be that.
And next thing you know, the following year, you were invited to the Hamptons in New York City to start doing birthday parties and camps and one-on-ones in the Hamptons. I mean, it totally changed your life. I don't want to take credit for it, but it was kind of.
It was definitely your idea. And I appreciate you to this day. I'm super grateful for the idea. And I tell this story to everyone, you know, especially to all the parents. They all know who you are. And it's just like, I give credit to Rachel.
Well, but the whole point is you learned how to pivot in that circumstance, and you did not see COVID as a way to defeat you. You saw it as a way to just pivot and figure out, because dancing and teaching was and is your passion. And you did a great job of figuring out how to continue that and to even elevate your money, you know, elevate your financial, goals out of that. So I'm so proud of you. Okay. Let's fast forward a little bit. And now you have moved, you live in Miami, you've closed your studio. And where are you at in life now?
Well, prior to me moving to Miami, I was, commuting back and forth from Palm Beach to Miami, teaching a lot of lessons. And I was like, I have more clients than Miami right now, on top of working with the Miami Heat. Because mind you, I'm one of the choreographers for the Miami Heat dancers too, as well. For 9 years, I've been, teaching choreography for the Miami Heat dancers. And so it just only makes sense for me to move to Miami, because I have more clientele in Miami, on Miami Beach, and I didn't have as much in Palm Beach at the time. And it was like, I feel like I've done my due diligence. With Sean Stan's Factory, I feel like I built this strong hip-hop dance community for kids, teens, and professional dancers in West Palm Beach. It's time for me to, you know, take care of Sean now. No more overhead, no more, you know, this and that, no more drama. No, you know, it's just like, I want to soar higher and evolve now. And I had that vision. As soon as I moved to Miami, man, I started racking up one more, a lot of private lessons throughout Miami Beach. And then...
By the way, I think it's important to mention it. You really focused on kids for, I think, that first year, but all of a sudden it was moms.
Yeah.
And then it was a group of moms. And by the way, I think you're, I think your girls night out, your
Gino.
Yeah. Sorry. is such a good idea. Do you still do that?
Yeah, I do. Matter of fact, I do them like almost every month, like whether it's Boca or Delray or Miami, wherever.
And what that is, well, explain what it is.
So Sean's Girls Night Out is, it can be a mom or it can be just a woman who have a lady who have a birthday party, a bachelorette party, whatever. She'll bring me in. We'll do two glasses of champagne. So that's the toast. And then I come and teach like an hour or 45 minutes to an hour dance class. And so it's a judge-free zone. There's no one judging no one. And it's, you know, it's, you come in with two left feet. So you don't have to be a good dancer, obviously. And it's just like bringing a bunch of fun and happiness to this room full of women. And it's just me. And it was amazing.
And I love how you do it. Some hotels sponsor it and it's just people that are signing up and you have, you know, 100 women.
Right.
Or, I mean, I've had you over to my apartment in New York City where we did five moms that I didn't really know. And all of our daughters were friends and we did it in my apartment. It was so fun. It's such a great icebreaker. And not only that, as you get older, like I hate going to those big birthday dinners and it's like a bunch of women, it's 12 women sitting around, you're stuck talking to the person next to you that you don't even know. And it gets boring. And instead to hire you to come over, everybody gets drunk and dances and you know, does all these sexy moves. It's so fun and you're laughing and engaged with everyone in the room. It's the best thing. So I really hope that people reach out to you and book you for that.
Thank you. Old Spa was the right one. Oh, not to cut you off, but Old Spa was the name of the resort. And 106 girls came right away and that changed the game. Because I used that video to get the game more.
Right.
That content to gain more of those type of parties.
Right.
And I started doing it in South Katrina, everywhere else.
Sean, what would you say is the biggest lesson you've learned throughout your life about what you've gone through, following your dreams, your passions, pivoting, all that stuff?
I would say never give up on yourself. Believe in your mission and keep your passion, but be true to yourself. Like, be authentic. Be your full authentic self. Don't try to be something that you're not. I'm not competing with anyone but myself. Like, I'm blessed enough to have this type of niche that I can use. And I look to the left and right. There's no one but me, you know. So success is moving from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. And I like that quote because that stuck with me for the longest. And I use that.
What's on your bucket list going forward?
Sure, glad you asked. Sean's retreat, the Soul Think Immersion Retreat. And that consists of dance, yoga, and fitness. So we're talking about Friday night. We're talking about like a three-day retreat, like whether it's going to be in Bali or Guadalupe. I say Guadalupe, Colombia, because I just purchased an investment there in, you know, Medellin, Colombia. So they're Miami or Bahamas. So Friday night will be dance. Saturday will be sunrise yoga and guided meditation, like guided candlelit meditation, EMDR therapy, motivational speaking. And then we have fitness and vision boards and a whole lot of other good stuff. And then the excursions, the tour around, you know, Guadalupe, and it's going to be big. So I just left Guadalupe 2 weeks ago and I kind of put up a little small post about it. And so that's what I'm excited about, starting my own retreat. Yeah.
Amazing.
And taking over the camps. Oh, please do. You're definitely be one of my guests. So I'll take care of you.
And you're still doing camps now, right? I mean, in last summer I tried to see you and you were too busy. You were at camp to camp to camp.
Right. So I did one camp last year called Lakonda. Out in the Catskills of New York. Mm-hmm. And I took that content of what I did at that camp, you know, whether I'm, you know, teaching workshops or being an MC for the disco dance at the camp, you know, because I'm an MC for Rock With You Entertainment doing bar mitzvahs, just to throw that out there. So people know that I also MC parties, mitzvahs all the time. So anyway, that one camp turned into seven camp this year. So that one camp turned into seven camps this year. And now my assistant and I, we're working on building, going to 12 to 13 different camps next year, next summer. So there's no stopping right now. You know, I just had a birthday, you know, from the 16th, and I can't stop.
And how are you being hired for all this? Is it just word of mouth?
Word of mouth. One camp, was it Southampton's Camping Club? The director sent out an email to his brother's sister camps, and they all booked me. They saw my footage. They saw the video of me interacting with the kids, getting boys to perform and dance. That's hard. Mm-hmm. So yeah. These boys, they like, oh, this is my meet. This is choreographer. Let's go. And then the girls who love to dance, I'm bringing like not only teaching foundation fundamentals, but I'm teaching them like hardcore competition dance moves. And some of these camps are competing against each other. And it's like, all right. So there's a pro and a con. The pro is like, I'm doing what I love to do. But the down point is I can't clone myself. So I can't scale the business as I want to because they want Sean Green.
Oh, well, that's actually a really interesting point. I mean, I've talked to different CEOs recently about how it's very hard to scale and grow because everyone wants the CEO, right? And it's hard to create an extension of you. So right. How do you plan on doing that? I mean, is there any way that you're going to start to maybe teach a course where you teach how to be the teacher and teach all your skills so you can start having little tentacles of Sean's out there?
That's what you just said. That's what I'm going to try to create. It's hard right now because like you can be a good dancer and you got all the energy in the world, but if you don't have the good personality, the right mindset to be able to pour to these kids the right way and to uplift their spirit and to not, crap on them when they're not, you know, the best dancers. Like it's just a lot more like to be other than just a great dancer. So it's
right.
Hard
no,
to teach.
What you do that people might not understand if they haven't seen your work is you walk into a room and you make shy kids feel very comfortable. You make shy adults feel like, okay, I'll try this move. You get people out of their shell. And especially in groups, like you came to my house last year for an inaugural sixth grade meeting with all the kids in my daughter's class. And it was like nine boys, nine girls. None of them had ever met yet because we hadn't started school. And you had them dancing.
Right.
And that is a very embarrassing thing if, you know, for anyone, I think. So you had them moving and joking around with each other. You do a lot of good icebreakers. And that was what I was nervous about when I first hired you just to work with Wyatt by herself. I knew that, you know, she didn't have great relationships with adult males and she would be shy. And with you, she came right out of her shell. And I know that we're going to make some clips and show your dance moves with Wyatt and me.
Right.
That like, that was her joy, you know, like that was, and even though she's grown up and she still, you know, gets all embarrassed because now it's like not cool to do anything.
That
is her love. Like
she
you know, loves you like you're her brother or her uncle or something
uncle,
and trusts you implicitly. And that's a great relationship to have with someone. So I appreciate that.
And that's right. And I appreciate that so much. And that's hard to teach. So I have to come up with some type of concept to be able to form that the right way.
Exactly.
So that happened. Yeah.
All right. And then do you have any plans on getting married and having your own children?
I do plan on getting married again. Hopefully in the near future, you know, I'm all about connecting with someone spiritually, intellectually, mentally. And if it's the right fit, I'm ready for that because, you know, I'm not getting any younger and I'm just ready to like, just build an empire with someone and, you know, travel the world. And I don't know about kids yet, you know. If it happened, of course, I'd be the greatest father ever because, you know, I feel like
my
mom and dad did a good job with me and my parents. So I know I'll be able to do the same. But I'm loving where I'm at right now, but it's I'm ready to settle down like that right now. So we're going to a whole love life right now, but yeah.
Okay. And then I guess my last question that I think people want to know is, what is your relationship like with your parents and your family now?
Love it. Like, I was just there for Thanksgiving. I just called them yesterday. I visit my parents, I'll say maybe like 2 or 3 times a month, because I'm hardly in West Palm as much. I take care of them financially. I'm there for them. I take care of my parents because they've done all they could for me when I was young. And it's time for us, my brothers and I, to step in and do what we can for our parents. And that's why I'm there. So anytime I can walk into my parents' house and they have a big smile on their face, and I'll do everything I can for them. So, because I love them that much.
Well, Sean, you are one of the sweetest guys that I know. I'm lucky to have you in my life and in Wyatt's life. We love you and always wish you the best. If someone wants to hire you, you no longer have a studio, but you are now, because you are now doing so many privates and being hired out, where can people reach you if they want to hire you?
Okay. I would say my telephone number or Instagram or my email address, which is sdancef@gmail.com. And then I have another email address coming to the Chakrain Collectives, because I'm going to be doing motivational speaking at schools as well.
All right. Well, we'll connect to your Instagram so that people can reach you. If somebody is interested in getting Sean's phone number, you could DM me or Misunderstood, and I will get you his phone number. I don't want to put it out on.
Yeah, exactly. And then the email address, of course.
Yeah.
You're great. First, thank you for having me so much. I really appreciate your time and allow me to be able to be interviewed by you. It's like,
oh my God, of course. What do you mean?
This is right here.
It's my honor. I love telling stories like this because I think it's so important for people to realize you don't have to be a CEO, you don't have to be famous, but like, you have created a business and you are the CEO of your own life and your own business. And it's just as important because you touch our lives every day. And I know that there are so many people that will want you in their life and to begin their little journey with dance. And by the way, it's fun. It makes you smile and laugh. And it's a great way to have some exercise without having to go to the gym too. So it's like a whole other, you know, I really encourage people to hire Sean because he's so good. And I remember being in New York and saying, oh, Sean Green is coming to stay with us. And these little kids that were friends with Wyatt would be like, you know Sean Green? Oh my God. Because you are like a huge star to them. So anyway.
I'm still learning myself to be better. So
well, you know, yeah. We're all a work in progress, but you're doing great and I appreciate you. Love you.
Appreciate you.
And next time you're in Palm Beach, you gotta come visit me and your favorites, which are the dogs.
I can't wait. You guys are the OG. Remember that. Why is the OG? You're the OG. So.
Love you.
Love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Understood.